Houston, it feels so good to get that win by the hair of our chinny chin chin. Rick Kamla and Clint Sterner at your service for the next 3 hours. We're going to chop up this game, man. And Clint, it was fun being at the stadium yesterday. The pregame show with Seth Payne and then heading up to the suite for the first half. Then heading to the press box to hang out with my boy Clint for the second half of that game. Just a good time, man. Game day. Week two and a win for the Texans, man. I'm in a good mood today. How about you?
Absolutely, man. Look, I'll never apologize for a win. At the end of the day, a W is a W. But yesterday, I don't know that I had as much fun as you appear to have had. I mean, I enjoyed sitting next to you in the press box and watching them toss the old pigskin around the park a little bit. But as you sit there and watch that game unfold, it was for the most part, a boring game. I expected some fireworks from the Texans offense. We didn't see much of that. Some frustrating aspects to the game, to say the least. But again, when you get a W at the end of it after not playing your best ball, that's a sign of a team getting better, and that's a sign of an organization going in the right direction. Now, we're going to cuss and discuss a little bit over the next 4 hours. But again, I want to remind everybody that W's aren't easy, and when you get one, it is to be celebrated.
Savor it, man. And yes, Houston, we will talk about Bill O'Brien's clock mismanagement at the end of the first half. That is definitely coming up. But let's praise the victors. And let's start with a play that really could become a signature play for the season. It is Justin Reed at the goal line, standing up Leonard Fournette. Here's how it sounded on Texans radio.
Jacksonville going for the lead right here from the 2-yard line. Minshew with the gun, three receivers left. Handoff Fournette running left. And he stopped. Justin Reed got in there. The D stiffens on the 2-point conversion try. The Texans have the lead 13-12 with 30 seconds left.
Absolute big time stop right there. We had Justin Reed on the post game show last night, and the dude is just so impressive. Every time you sit down and talk to him, the depth at which he can speak the game, on top of obviously the way he plays the game, it is truly, truly impressive. And when I watched that play, Rick, it was one of those. And when you watch the replays in real time, it's just bang, bang. He made the tackle. They review the where the ball was, and no good. Texans win. But when you go back and watch it, I look at it and I go, how does a guy of Justin Reed's stature, of his build, on that particular part of the field, when a running back of that size knows he needs 2 yards to win the game for all the marbles, Justin Reed is in a very awkward position. And John Harris last night, he mentioned it being a position of a catcher, like when he's blocking a ball that's in the dirt at home plate. And he still finds a way to be more powerful than Leonard Fournette and actually keep him from scoring. That was a big time play. And you're right. Here's what I think about this game, Rick. And it all, obviously it ends with that play right there you just heard. I believe that at the end of 17 weeks, I guess, because you got a bye week in there. I believe at the end of that 17 week, the Texans are going to look back, win, lose, or draw the rest of the way, and they're going to have learned more about themselves and about what they need to do to be successful from the week two versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. Thankful that Justin Reed stepped up and bowed his neck, but when it's all said and done, this was a game of lessons about yourself, of lessons about how you need to get better and where you need to get better if 2019 is going to be the season you want.
So you think about a football player and how he prepares for his entire life, all of the working out, all of the running, all of the weightlifting, all of the banging in practice, and all of that culminated with that stop on Leonard Fournette, because if he was 1 ounce less powerful and with less strength, then Leonard Fournette scores that 2-point conversion. And there was 30 seconds left. It's probably an L at this point, but New Orleans did a lot in a very short amount of time 1 week ago. So Justin Reed was on the postgame show with Clint and with Sean Pendergast. He also addressed the media after the game yesterday, and he talks about his responsibility on that 2-point conversion.
We all got in the huddle, was like, the game is on the line right here. Everybody just do your job. You should pay attention. I was actually responsible for the back on that play. The front line, the D line did a great job pushing the pile, opening up to where it was basically just me and him left. And then, you know, just have to bow up, make a play.
Bow up and make a play. You heard the man. It was they went cover zero ultimately. So what happens is it's man to man with no deep help. You're on the 2-yard line. You clearly don't need deep help. The front has to be gap sound, assignment sound. And
they got some good push on that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they got some really good push up front. But then from a secondary standpoint, is somebody has to be responsible for the back in man-to-man coverage if they were to throw the ball. And Reed had Leonard Fournette in man-to-man coverage. And so he follows his man, whether he's got the ball or not, immediately. So it just tracked him right to the point of contact. And then, as I said earlier, he won the big chess contest versus Leonard Fournette. Hard to believe when you look at him on paper how they're stacked up. But when you know Justin Reed, you know the kind of ball he plays, and you watch him through training camp, he's going to win more of those battles right there than he loses. And yesterday, it saved a game because the Texans tried to give it away multiple times. It saved a game for the Houston Texans and got them to 1-1.
Justin Reed, thank you for helping me look smart. Told you last week Leonard Fournette is overrated. And not to get in from the two right there, the offense is built around him. That's his job. He was not able to get it done. Justin Reed was. And Justin, the entire city, you're a rock star right now, man. Not paying for anything, whether it's a Dasani, whether it's a beer, whether it's a dinner. Pick up this guy's tab. And as he explains, after stoning Leonard Fournette at the goal line, it was pure ecstasy.
Oh man, pure ecstasy, man. It was like excitement. I almost threw my arm out how hard I punched after it, you know. It was a great feeling, man. It feels good to get a win.
A lot led up to that, man. I mean, because I talked to Justin last night about, say, you know, when they took the timeout, and I remember I turned to you and you were like, man, what are they doing? I'm like, hey man, this defense is gassed. They need a break. And I asked Justin about that last night, and he just simply said, look, man, the timeout was nice. But whether the timeout would have been called or not, we would have played one more play. We would have had to bow our neck and stop them. And so you're just talking about a guy that regardless of the situation, and I believe him. A lot of guys in this league, when you hear him talk, you're like, man, you're just BSing. Like a lot, AB's been in the news more than anybody as of late. When you hear him telling John Gruden, man, all I want to do is play ball. Man, it's all I ever want to do. I prove to y'all every day, man, you're BSing. You're selling me a bill of goods. I'm not saying you don't work hard, but you're selling. Now you're manipulating the situation. You're trying to cover up for something. When Justin Reed talks, it's real talk, and it's to the point. He's staring an eye. He's staring a hole through your forehead when he's talking to you. And it was a solid play that saved the organization.
There was a lot of debate around the NFL. Should Doug Marrone have gone for the 2-point conversion or not? This is what Justin Reed had to say about that.
Toward the end of the game, they're having a little bit of traction.
Right.
And, you know, both of our teams, you know what I mean, the defenses on both sides of the ball were doing very well, and I'm sure they just wanted to try and take the game right then and there. They're in an away stadium. They're not at home. They're playing in our house.
Right.
We know the crowd will be a factor. So for them, you know, it made sense for them to try and go for two.
Clint, I am usually a tie-the-game guy, usually. But in that spot, with a rookie QB, you're on the road, you're 2 yards away from taking a lead with 30 seconds left. That's your best drive of the football game to that point. I was okay with the decision to go for it. And I heard John Lopez and some other people, and I'm not calling out John, J-Lo's my dude, but he said that it's a short week for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have a Thursday night joint coming up this week against Tennessee. So why do you want to play an extra quarter? Like, I'm forgetting about all of that, and I'm just looking at Doug Marrone went for it, man. And he explained after the game, you know, we had a play that we liked. The decision was made, like, before we even got to that point. I didn't have a problem with it, did you?
No, a problem with him going for two? No, I think it was expected. The question is why would you take the ball out of the hot hand of your quarterback? Like, literally the only plus on your entire offensive unit was Minshew's ability to ad-lib outside the pocket and find open receivers,
good
and then and on that drive, even make hay with his feet. And so,
how about that 18-yarder on 4th and 10?
Yeah. So the question really comes down to is going for two is not the question. It makes a lot of sense for Jacksonville to do that, and it makes sense for the Texans to in that situation expect them to do that. The question is taking the ball out of your quarterback's hands, who clearly had the hot hand and was winning that entire drive. Even when the odds were stacked against him, 4th and long, there's a couple third down conversions, there's a couple of tough throws in there. And so not putting the game in his hands after he essentially gave you a breath of fresh air or gave you a last-second ability to catch some fresh air, that's the question to me. Hindsight's always 20/20. If your offense is built around Leonard Fournette, you got to call on him in those situations. But boy, in the moment, I'd have had a hard time not putting it in the hands of that young quarterback right there.
So week one against the New Orleans Saints, it was a pretty loss. This was an ugly win. And here's how it sounded at the very end with Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware on Texans Radio.
They'll snap it from the Jacksonville 48. Takes the snap, takes a knee. It is over. The Texans hang on to beat Jacksonville 13-12 in a pressure AFC South game at NRG Stadium.
So, Clint, in terms of this win, right? It's like a win is a win is a win. But you said it earlier, and I want to stamp this and repeat it maybe with a little bit different words. I was impressed yesterday, and especially watching the game back this morning once again, that there were so many mistakes. There was sloppy game management. There was sloppiness in terms of penalties. Deshaun Watson misfiring downfield multiple times, and you still got the win against a divisional foe with a lot of talented players on the field. I think it's a sign of a winning program to win games like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you just make the general statement that when you win games, when you're not at your best, on a day when things are tough and you just can't get on track, yeah, if it's just a general blanket statement you're making, I can understand that. But when you watch how this game unfolded, there are some major concerns when you're having a conversation around, are the Texans are they any closer today to being a legitimate playoff contender than they were Saturday afternoon? That's something that we're going to dig into, obviously, and I think it goes a lot deeper than, okay, great win, 1-1, you won in an ugly fashion, you won not at your best, okay, that's the general statement, but in order to get better, you got to dig into really what happened, the details of the game, and I believe there's a lot more to be learned from this game than there will be most games moving forward. And so the coaches have an absolute ton of game film to teach from, and this team should. Now, whether they do or not is yet to be seen, but this team should get significantly better. They should grow and develop over the next week of their professional career as much, if not more, than they have to this point.
You're making a lot of sense, my bro. That is Clint Sterner. I'm Rick Kamla. And after the dust settled yesterday, there is a three-way tie at 1-1 atop the division because the Colts beat the Titans yesterday. There was a fire on the field in Tennessee before the game, and it was weird. And then the Colts went ahead and beat them. So a three-way tie atop the division at 1-1. Jacksonville is 0-2. And is Bill O'Brien's clock management suffering because he's wearing too many hats? That is next on Clinton Kamla.